Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, thanks. Wow. That was a good whistle right there. Wow. So nice to be here. I'm so glad that we get to do this. I'm so glad that we get to spend more than just a Monday night or Monday, Tuesday, but actually weekend. Not been able to do that before, and it just kind of worked out this year, and I'm thankful. Glad to be back in Kerrville. Glad to see believers from so many different churches, too. That makes it extra fun, so really, really happy about that. I always try to have important things to read to you. This is the hormone guide for men. Men, you may want to take notes. There's three categories. There's dangerous, there's safer, and there's safest. What's for dinner? That's dangerous. Safer is, can I help you with dinner? Safest is, where would you like to go for dinner? Dangerous, are you wearing that? Safer, wow, you sure look good in brown. Safest, wow, look at you. Dangerous, what are you so worked up about? Safer, could we be overreacting? Safest, here's my paycheck. Dangerous, should you be eating that? Safer, you know, there's a lot of apples left. Safest, can I get you a piece of chocolate to go with that? And the last one, what did you do all day? Once again, the groan of pain. Safer, I hope you didn't overdo it today. Safest, I've always loved you in that robe. Oh, I think that's so funny. Everyone thinks that a girl's dream is to find the perfect guy. Please. Every girl's dream is to get thin by eating cupcakes. And I have one little story to read. An old geezer who had been a retired farmer for a long time became very bored, decided to open a medical clinic. He put up a sign outside that said, Dr. Geezer's Clinic. Get your treatment for $500. If you're not cured, you get back $1,000. Dr. Young, who was a legitimate doctor, was positive this old geezer didn't know anything about medicine. He thought this would be a great chance to make some money. So he went to Dr. Geezer's clinic, and this is what transpired. Dr. Young walks in. Dr. Geezer, I've lost all the taste in my mouth. Can you please help me? Dr. Geezer turns to the nurse. Please bring medicine from box 22. Put 3 drops in Dr. Young's mouth, and Dr. Young cries out, ah, that's gasoline. Congratulations, you've got your taste back. That'll be $500. Dr. Young gets annoyed and goes back after a couple of days trying to figure out how to recover his money. He walks in and he says, Dr. Geezer, he says, I've lost all my memory. I can't remember anything. Dr. Geezer turns to the nurse and says, please bring medicine from box 22 and put 3 drops in the patient's mouth. Dr. Young yells out, oh, no, you don't. That's gasoline. Congratulations. You've got your memory back. That'll be $500. Dr. Young, having lost $1,000, leaves mad. Comes back after several more days. Oops, there we go. Comes back after several more days. He walks in and he says, Dr. Geezer, my eyesight has become weak. I can hardly see. Dr. Geezer responds, well, I don't have any medicine for that, so here's your $1,000 back. He looks at it and he says, this is only $500. Congratulations, you've got your vision back. That'll be $500. I think that's so funny. You hear about the guy came to his pastor. He said, Pastor, I said, would you pray for me? He says, yeah, what do you need prayer for? He says, I need prayer for my hearing. He says, yeah, he licks his fingers, sticks in his ears, and rebukes the spirit of deafness and commands the ears to open. When he's all through with his fiery prayer, he pulls his hands out and he says, well, so how's your hearing? And the guy responds, I don't know. It ain't till Thursday. It just goes downhill from there. Yeah, yeah. I appreciated Richard's comments, but I thought maybe they should make you nervous, that if I can talk for an hour and a half to 30 people, think what I could do with this many. I could pretty much cause you to overdose. So. I brought a real specific word. The word is short. I'll fluff it up to make it a little bit longer so it feels like a legitimate message. But I feel like we're actually supposed to pray into something and that the Lord is going to bring breakthrough. And let me just start by just telling you, God is a God of restoration. And I believe that tonight is a night where he is going to shift things for entire family lines that have been locked in poverty, shift things where there's been disease in one member to another, just continuous affliction of various kinds. He's going to shift the health condition. He's going to shift the steady decline in business, in certain businesses represented. He's going to restore monies that have been stolen, things that have happened. I've been experimenting with this for the last maybe 10 years now, and I don't do it very often. I think I've done it at home, I think three times, perhaps four at the most in 10 years. I only do it when I feel a real strong urge to make some decrees and for us to actually pray together over this. And the reason is that it's a biblical principle that God is a restorer. And so we can always go to him with confidence that he's going to do that. But there are times where he is breathing on that subject so profoundly that miracles happen so fast and so dramatically. I mean, we've had, when we talk about family issues that are multi-generations, we talk about economic crises that have been going on forever. We talk about, you know, court cases that have been extended for just unreasonable periods of time. And when these moments come and we stop and we make corporate prayer together and we make decrees over the people that we'll be praying for, honestly, I've seen things turn around within 24 hours. We've seen money appear in bank accounts. We've had some of the most unusual miracles, and we just did this again just maybe 3 weeks ago at home at Bethel Church in Reading, where I pastor. And I just got a report yesterday of an extraordinary miracle that took place. I believe it was within 24 hours of us just stopping to decree what God was doing. Thankfully, it's nothing we ever have to earn. It's all by grace. It's all what he does because of grace. The anointing qualifies us. It's the Spirit of God upon his people that qualifies us for what he's about to do. When this first started, maybe 8-10 years ago, It's the first time, in fact, I think I came here soon afterwards and shared some of the ideas, but it was the first time we'd ever stopped a teaching about every 3 or 4 minutes, and we stopped and we would pray for certain people with certain kinds of needs. It was not a good sermon at all, but there were more miracles from that one day than maybe any other 10 days in the 40-some years of ministry that I've been involved in, combined. So when I say this, it's because I have great hope for, we're going to pray for the sick and the Lord's going to heal people, and that's going to be always wonderful. And that we'll be able to see immediately. But some of the things that we're going to pray for tonight, actually, you'll just need to tell someone when it happens. Because I believe within 30 days, there's going to be some extraordinary things take place in people's lives. I want you to look at two portions of scripture, and the reason is because they both have to do with restoration. We're not going to study them per se, but I want you to look at Job chapter 42 and Zechariah chapter 9. Job 42 and Zechariah chapter 9. The first time we did what we're about to do, we had people that had, one lady had an inheritance that was held up in the court system because she was First Nations people, Native American. It was held up in the court system for over 50 years. Within 30 days after this decree, it was settled and the inheritance was released to her. That kind of thing. People that had received inheritance and their relatives that left something to them, the person in our church couldn't be found. And coincidentally, they got found like the week after we made this decree. Changes in relationships and family lines, families that have seen nothing but heartache and children that aren't serving the Lord and just going their own way. And just in these moments where there's this decree, because it's restoration, it's not just money. I'm thankful it touches natural things. But the stuff that's the most dear to us is when we lose family members, when we experience great loss, maybe through death, maybe through divorce. And we need God to go above and beyond the restoration of missing dollars. We need him to really bring healing to our heart. And I feel like the Lord is really on this subject right now, and I think it's going to be a Christmas present for people in the room, that he's about to hand out gifts. And I think you will see that this will be measurable over the next 30 days or so. All right, you ready? Yes, all five of you, that's all right. I've worked with less. Job, as most of you would know, went through a horrible crisis, lost everything. In verse 8 says, he's speaking to the friends of Job. He says, therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls, 7 rams. By the way, for those who may not be well-versed, Job had some friends that weren't very friendly. They just blamed him during all of his affliction and problems that he was the problem. And Job really did live righteously. The Lord had some issues with him, but the Lord is the one who said, Job is the one who's right. And in this case, he says, go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job will pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly. I just love that verse. I just think that's funny. I'm listening to Job. I'm not listening to you. Go have Job pray for you. That's might be good for us to know who to go to, you know, when we're feeling stupid. All right. Lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. He goes on, and the Lord accepted Job. They did as he commanded. Verse 10 is the verse we want. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Restoration is just, it's in the heart of God. When you look in Scripture at when God restores stuff, it's always alarming to me. When you see the Temple of Solomon, it was destroyed. When it was rebuilt to twice the size. Because when God restores, he doesn't bring it back to where it was. You know, this is such a mystery in Scripture that Paul, when he's talking about sin, he says, does this mean we should sin so that we see grace abound? In other words, to the logical mind, that's almost the way it appears. And then he says, God forbid, may it never be. That's not the message, but does it make sense to you? It almost looks like that. The grace of God is so significant. The grace of God so profoundly covers the things that we've done wrong and then restores to a place greater than before. And here Job is praying for his friends. His friends had betrayed him. He had lost everything. He's at his lowest possible point in life, lower than probably most anybody in this room when you read the story and you realize what he went through. And his friends became spiritual counselors that condemned and blamed him for all of his issues. I mean, you know, when you're down, you don't need your friends to keep kicking, you know, to keep throwing rocks at you. And that's kind of what his friends did. But here's the great verse. It says, when Job prayed for his friends, there's something profound about being proactive to serve those who have opposed you, to serve those who have hurt you. I think personally that the greatest cause of the two greatest causes of loss, the two greatest causes of affliction, of disease, of torment on the mind, these things. One would be bitterness, resentment. The other would be fear. Those two things rob more believers of what they were born for than anything else in the Christian life. And in this particular case, the Lord wanted to help Job's friends, but he also wanted to help Job. And he gave him access to the one way he could not only have everything restored to him, he could actually have it restored two times over. In Zechariah chapter 9, we have a similar passage. I actually spoke on this last week at home. I love the passage for several reasons. Verse 12 says, "Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you." He goes on, "I have bent Judah my bow." Does anyone remember what the word or the name Judah means? It means praise. So the Lord says, "I have bent praise." Praise is a bow, and I have loaded the bow with Ephraim. Ephraim is fruitfulness. So the Lord is saying here in this passage, I have permanently joined together the subject of fruitfulness with praise. Praise in the midst of difficulty. Praise in the midst of conflict. Praise before you get the answer. Thankfulness before you get the breakthrough that you've been crying out for. That kind of praise is the fruitfulness that gets loaded into a bow. And it gets fired into your destiny. It gets fired into our future. But the verse 12 is the one I want us to take a look at for just a moment. He says, "Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope." Now, New American Standard is a translation that I love a lot. I'm sure that probably many of you have that translation. It says, "Return to the stronghold, you prisoners who have hope." Who have is actually added to try to give definition. I would like to suggest that maybe this translation is a better one. Return to your stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Imagine yourself walking through life with a ball and chain, and that ball and chain is hope. That everywhere you go, you just take, oh, I'm a prisoner of hope. I can't escape hope. It has become a part of me. It is not something I fight for. It is not something that I have to choose. It has chosen me. And I have become a prisoner of hope. I have become a prisoner of promise. I used to sign my letters, prisoner of promise, Bill. And this concept of being a prisoner of hope. One of our women years ago came out of a time of prayer and brought Chris Valton, my senior associate, a hymn, a word, and he shared it with all of us, and we have since all been using it. And it was this one statement, this one phrase: "The one who has the most hope will always have the most influence." The one who has the most hope will always have the most influence. In fact, since I'm in Texas, let me go after something. If you want to know why Joel Osteen has so many people coming to his church, it's because he is infected with hope over every and any situation. He spreads hope every time he talks. He just can't help it. And I love people that are prisoners of hope because they are trustworthy. It's very easy for us as well-meaning believers to see the evil, to see the corruption, to see the problems that are going on in the world, and let that affect our attitude, our anticipation, our prayer life, our expectation. We become molded and shaped by conflict instead of by promise. And tragically, it is thought to be spiritual to discern the evil of the day. It's Paul said to prophesy by faith. Prophesy according to your faith. It doesn't take any faith to read the newspaper and prophesy doom. It takes faith to read the newspaper and then come with an answer that is prophetic in hope. It takes faith to rise above the obvious decline in culture and bring a word that is contrary. And we need people like this. And what I feel like the Lord is doing is I feel like there is a Holy Ghost infection being released tonight, a Holy Ghost infection for hope. Because what's going to happen is many of you will taste of unusual miracles in the next several weeks. But here's my heart. I want that for you. I want, if you have a business that's going down, I want it to be restored. If you have a marriage that's on the rocks, I want it to be healed. That's obvious. But I'm looking beyond that because I see an army here that can be prisoners of hope, that can go into any situation knowing that it's not too big for God, knowing that it's not too far gone for God to heal and for God to restore. And so in this passage, he says, return to your stronghold. And that's an unusual term, because most of the time, at least in my circles, when the term stronghold is used, it's used to describe a demonic stronghold. It's used to describe something evil or devilish. And that certainly exists. 2 Corinthians 10 talks about taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And by doing so, there's actually a dismantling. If you could imagine pulling out brick by brick by brick, this castle that has become a stronghold for the demonic, where the demonic has existed in a person's life legally because that person has created a safe place through wrong thought. And when we take thoughts captive, we're actually dismantling the safe place for the evil one. And that's very real, but that's not what's talked about here. In Nahum, chapter 1, verse 9, is one of my favorite statements in the whole Bible, and it's that the Lord is good. He's good. That's pretty much all you need to know. He's good. He's better than we think, so we got to change the way we think. We've got to adjust our thinking to his likeness because he is good. His goodness is beyond our comprehension. It's extreme. It's scandalous. And it says in that passage, it says, the Lord is good. And then it says something about go back to your stronghold. And it says that the Lord is your stronghold. The Lord is the stronghold. So yes, there's a stronghold for the demonic, but there's also a stronghold where God dwells. And that's that place. Can I suggest to you, that's the Christ-like attitude and thoughts, the affection of the heart where we hold dear the presence of the Lord, the promise of the Lord, and we maintain this place in our hearts where we have such value for the presence of God, such value for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that place of fellowship, in that place of communion is a stronghold. And I'd like to suggest that in Zechariah, when he says, return to your stronghold, I think he's telling us, go back to that place of deep communion. Just go back to that place of deep communion. Let your hope become fiery. Yeah. And then he says, in that context, I will restore double to you. I will restore double to you. See, the cool thing about hope in the Bible is hope is a lot different than it is in our culture. Our hope in Western culture, anyway, is, I hope I get that gift for Christmas. You know, I hope I, have this kind of a pay raise at work. I hope I have this opportunity to buy this kind of a car. I hope. It's a wish. The biblical word for hope is actually translated the joyful anticipation of good. It is an emotionally exciting feeling of something that is significant and great that's about to happen. It's the kids on Christmas morning before they open the presents. They're sitting there bouncing up and down, can hardly wait for you to finish the Christmas story so they can get down to the important things, opening gifts, you know. It's that. What is that anticipation? What is that excitement? What is that joy? That is actually as clear a picture of the biblical word hope as you could possibly imagine. And here's what it comes down to for you and me. You and I cannot afford to be without hope. And let me stretch it a bit. You and I can't afford to be without hope in every area of our life. Because any area of my life for which I have no hope, it's under the influence of a lie. Any area of my life that there is not joyful anticipation in has been poisoned and infected with a lie. So I've come with kind of I usually like to come and teach, and hopefully I'll be able to do that tomorrow a bit more than tonight. But I just when I actually came into the city today as we were driving in from the airport in San Antonio, and just start praying this afternoon, I just start thinking, man, he wants to raise up an army of hopeful people that become contagious, that don't just have hope in the sense that it's an emotional place of anticipation, but hope attracts breakthrough. Hope actually attracts the breakthrough we're looking for. Hope actually draws into a person's life the very thing they're hungry for. We've seen some very unusual miracles through the last 10 years or so. I'm going to assume that you would know about a lot of the physical healings that we've seen, and I'm so thankful for them because that was the burden of my heart for so long. It still is, for us to see greater breakthrough. I hate cancer. I don't want cancer to be able to exist in any of our churches at all. I'm thankful for when we see people just get healed by coming into the building, which we have happen. We have people that just taste of divine health by being in the room, by being there. Pains and afflictions and torments and things that have been on their life forever just seem to melt off when they come in this presence of the Almighty God. And that should be logical to us, because in heaven, none of those diseases can stand. None of them can exist. And the more we draw upon heaven to invade earth, the more we see the reality of his presence manifest here, the more we're going to see those things actually leave, sometimes without prayer, sometimes without even a decree. They just happen. I love that. But the miracles that I feel like I'm supposed to target tonight have to do with other things. Some of you made business deals and you've been kicking yourself because it didn't go well, and you've done the guilt shame thing, blaming yourself. And I would like to suggest to you that even if the business deal that went bad was your fault, when you're forgiven, it's no longer your fault. That was actually better news than what they thought it was. That was amazing news right there. He doesn't forgive you and then say, "But I still remember, in case I need this evidence in the future." You know, that's just not the way he functions. When he forgives and there's been loss, how do we know this? Because he releases the prisoner. The scripture says he releases captives and prisoners, and there's a difference between the two. The captive is in prison because of what someone else has done. The prisoner is in prison because of what they've done. It would make sense for him to release the captives. Why? Because they've been held hostage by the sins of others. Maybe it was abuse. Maybe it was some other horrendous act. Maybe it's manipulation, control. Maybe it's some of those things. But there's just that control by other people. I would expect him to release the captive, but why would he release the prisoner? The prisoner is getting what they deserve. And yet when you're forgiven, you no longer deserve it. I'm just trying to take a few minutes here to throw out some little seeds of hope. That if you'll stop blaming yourself for the loss you experienced, maybe you could then be qualified for restoration. I visited it, I think, 4 times in 10 years. When I started it 10 years ago, I actually felt cautioned of the Lord to bring in any examples of spiritual restoration. And that, you have to understand, that's my heart. I just want to see families restored. I want to see people in love with Jesus. I mean, that's all the stuff that matters to me. And I felt like the Lord actually warned me and said, "I want to give a physical example of restoration in their lives so that they can then believe me for the spiritual." See, when the Lord spoke, he spoke in Isaiah 35. Let me read this passage, 45. He said, "I will go before you." In fact, some of you could just take this as a prophetic word. Isaiah 45, verse 2. "I will go before you, make crooked places straight, break in pieces the gates of bronze, cut through the iron bars. I will give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden wealth of secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord God of Israel, who calls you by your name. Do you hear what I just read? I'm going to do this natural thing because I'm going to touch something so deep in you that you live with an awareness that you have been chosen by the Almighty God, but it's going to be displayed to you through a natural work that I do. I tell you, one of the best things you can do for yourself in your thinking is erase the line between secular and sacred. We got to get rid of those two compartments in our life. There's no longer secular employment, not if you're a believer. It's a ministry unto the Lord. Work is worship. And this concept of separating, segmenting parts of our lives, it makes people think wrong. They think wrong. They want to prioritize this spiritual thing over this natural thing, not realizing God wanted to give you access to the spiritual by the natural. And I know that sounds weird, but it's absolutely true. It's the way I've watched him work for years. And I've had him. He's so gracious, so I don't want to give off the wrong image. He's not been rough or confrontive, but he's been very obvious in his dealings with me that it was time to get rid of the categories that I build. Us and them. The world doesn't like being our project. Erase the line. Get rid of secular, sacred, and erase the line between natural and supernatural. When Israel was going through the wilderness, they supernaturally were supplied for every day. Yes? Man on the ground, clothes didn't wear out, water out of a rock, fire at night, cloud by day. That's heating and air right there in the wilderness. They've got this supernatural thing. Where were they going? To the promised land. What was in the promised land? Crops they would have to plant and harvest. See, many people think that the ultimate Christian life is to do nothing and pray and watch God work. When he says the ultimate Christian life is to co-labor with him, is you work and watch him breathe on your labor. You watch him touch your natural gifts, your natural abilities, that which you've offered to him. That was the destination of a nation that was to become supernatural in nature. And so my question has been this. I have had two areas of my life, natural and supernatural. All of us have natural and supernatural. But God only has one, the natural. It's all his natural. He doesn't have to turn up the notch for something. It's all his normal. Are you guys with me? So what we're going to do, we're going to pray together for each other, and I'm just going to ask you to cooperate. It'll probably be a little bit chaotic, and I apologize for that. I wasn't prepared to be chaotic tonight, but it comes naturally sometimes. I'm going to have you up and down, up and down, up and down, and we're just going to try to discern what the Lord's going to have us pray for, because I believe in the next 30 days there's going to be a number of people that experience things unusual. I've actually seen people, we've gone after restoration of like business deals, that sort of thing, and I've actually had people in the meeting called, and a text would come in the meeting of a restored situation. We saw a church in the UK where I presented some of these basic concepts, and when they gathered the offering for this event, Randy Clark and I were there together, and James Maloney, and I shared these concepts with them, challenged them in their faith, and when they took the offering to the bank to deposit it, it had increased by 800 pounds. We have someone in our church that just had a burden for a particular business, and so they would stop and visit. These people aren't believers, but stop and visit, and would ask them questions, and they would say, how do you know that? And they would take them into a private room saying, nobody knows this. We've discussed this in private, and they finally developed this trust, this relationship, where they could tell this person was hearing from God about their business. And he went in one day when they were doing a deposit. He prayed with them over the deposit. And when they got to the bank, the deposit was twice what it was when they left the business. We have one of our single, do you like these stories? I don't know, I don't want to bore you with stories, but one of our single guys has had over a period of a few weeks, 7 diamonds appear in his bed. He wakes up. We've had these gems appearing again, and we just had this real sweetheart, young lady, been in our school of ministry, went through all 3 years, and her mother died 2 weeks ago, died 3 years ago that day. And she was so sad. You know, she died while she was in school, and she was just so broken. She said, Bill, she said, today's three years ago today. And I said, I'm so sorry. I just loved on her and prayed with her a bit, and some others were doing that. I went up and got the service started and came back down, and the gal that was working with her said, here, this was at your feet, and it's this huge gem about the size of my little finger, little tip of my little finger there, and said, here's this gem. It was at your feet. And I said, well, you keep it. You saw it. And she said, no, I didn't see it. And she pointed to the girl whose mother died 3 weeks ago, that day. And I said, well, then it's a gift from her mom to her. Give it to her. And then found out that I ended the service with a verse that her mother read over her every day of her life. We have 3 services Sunday morning. It's the only service she was in, and it was the only service I closed the service with that verse. So what I'm just trying to tell you is that the Lord loves surprising us. It doesn't, you know, we can't just say, oh, God, double my bank account. It's not that. It's, God, I want to embark on this journey where I see you touch everything broken and restore it. And however you want to do that is just really good with me. I purpose to seek for you to be glorified in every act of restoration, every broken relationship that gets healed, every family member that's been off on their own that gets restored to you, every business deal that just mysteriously gets restored and healed, or you restore the money that we lost in this deal, whatever. I look for you in your timing and in your way to restore all, because God, I know that you are glorified by your work in me. And here's what you've got to do. There's a couple things. There's number one is what Job did, is you pray for the ones that have opposed you. See, it's not good enough to me. This is just my opinion. But for me, it's not good enough just to say, well, I forgive you. I mean, that's a good place to start. But unless you're moving into a contributing role into that person's life, it's hard to destroy those patterns of critical thoughts towards that individual. You don't destroy those patterns of thought until you start replacing them with proactive efforts to bless and to pray for. If it's a person that abused you physically, a woman that was raped by some guy, doesn't mean you ever have to be in a room alone with them ever again. It's not that. It's just you say, God, I want that man to know what your love is like. He couldn't have done that to me if he would have known what you were like. So I want you to bless his life, God. Put him in a place where he can hear from you. Do you hear what I'm saying? So here's this proactive effort to, I want to go beyond confessing, I forgive this person. But I'm going to move in. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for them. And that's what Job did. And God gave him twofold. And then the second one is out of the Zechariah 9 passage. I think there's a connection between being a prisoner of hope and having God restore everything twofold. I think there's a connection in the spirit to saying, I will live the rest of my days as a person of extreme hope. By your grace, I will be a person that lives with hope over any and every situation. Something happens when a person says yes to the invitation for great hope. I think that's where the Lord begins to work on our behalf to restore twofold. Amen. My sermon's over. All right. We're going to pray for different ones, and before we pray for the sick and stuff, but we're going to pray for restoration. How many of you can think of at least one thing that you need restored How many of you can think of maybe a few more? Yeah. We know of situations where there have been estranged family members. I know of one, actually I think there's several, where before the day was over, they live in another part of the country, they would call on the phone and would want to get things right with their mom, with their dad. It's just, when we do what we're supposed to do, God starts working on our behalf. And don't think for a moment that you and I have the right to nurture any kind of attitude outside of hope. Do not think it is your right. When God is my Father, now I realize I'm in Texas and there's a lot of sport teams that you guys root for that I don't have as great an admiration for. And so I'm going to tread on this softly. It'll be my last comments before we pray. And just be merciful to me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. I have been a 49er fan for a long time. And there's a couple of you in the room. Thank you, Jesus. I asked them to come to give me support on this illustration. But I would go home after church on Sunday morning and turn the TV on and watch the game, and there was that stretch with Joe Montana and Steve Young where they just seemed to win everything. They got like 5 Super Bowls in a certain period, 12 years or whatever it was, and it was just so fun to watch, you know, for us, not for you, but for us. And I was such an avid fan that I would watch the game, but I would record the game while I was watching it. And then on Monday, I would watch it again, if they won. If they lost, I didn't bother. But if they won, and you know what? I'd put that tape in on Monday. I would sit there, it was my day off, and I'd just sit in my TV room, and if there was a fumble, you know what? I never got nervous. If there was an interception, if Montana threw an interception, yeah, no big deal. Why? Because I know the outcome. I know how this thing ends. I'm only watching it because we win. I'm only watching it because we win. And so when the other team would score and they would make points, I was just so filled with peace. It's amazing. I was just filled with peace. And I would sit there and just smile knowing the outcome. And that's what hope is supposed to be for you and me. As we look ahead and we see the outcome of things that God has promised, we don't know how it's going to work. We just know it is going to work. We just know what Chris Velton, my associate, says, says all things, in the end, all things work together for good. So he says, if it hasn't worked for good yet, then it's not the end. And that's just a great statement. It's not the end. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for folks. And here's what I want to do. I want to start with the family stuff. This doesn't fit everyone. All of us can think of family members maybe that need prayer, stuff like that. But I want us to pray for those who have had unusual conflict, division, crisis in relationships in your family. I want you to stand. I usually end with this one, but I feel like we're supposed to go for this one first. The Bible says that God can turn the heart of a king as easy as he can turn water. There was no resistance in the moving of that water. You get it? And he is able to work in the hearts of kings, let alone our family members. And I feel like there's a prophetic word there that God is going to release. We're going to pray for this. Release an angelic host to work on your behalf to see full restoration of every single family member. I'm going to ask those of you that are sitting, please lay hands on somebody. We've got pockets of people like right down here where I'm going to need some of you to move around the room, but I want you to pray for them. Your involvement in this moment is critical. Okay, I need more... Some of you, like there's 10 or 15, 20 people right here. I want you to lay hands on each other because there's just so many of you standing. Yeah, I want you just to pray together. Now, what are we doing? We are acknowledging that God is the restorer. How many believe that God is the God who restores? He's the God who restores. He restored twice what Job lost. Even though God found fault with Job in his dealings, he still restored twice. We're going to pray for these folks right now, and I'm going to ask you to pray aggressively on their behalf. I want you to pray and ask the Lord to literally to release the angels that render service for that family line. The principle of Scripture is a lamb is sacrificed for an entire household. One lamb per household. To me, that prophesies that everyone in a family unit is supposed to be saved and serving the Lord together. And so I want you to pray for these folks. Just take a few minutes to do this. Just pray for them. You don't need to know the specifics. That's not important right now. Just pray for them. God, restore all. Restore every family member, regardless if it's through divorce, if it's through separation, if it's through resentment, through bitterness, anger. I want you to make declarations over them. It's important that we speak to the mountain. We speak to the mountain. We speak to the problem. Now I want you to start to call the family members home. Those of you that are receiving prayer, this is a good time for you to enter in. Just call them by name. We call you home. We call you home. In this final minute, just begin to declare over them that God is the one who restores all. Just put it into a decree. God will restore. He will restore. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Now I want everyone that's praying and everyone that's been prayed for right now, begin to give thanks in advance. In advance for what is about to happen. Lord, we do. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for children who have wandered away from the Lord that you are bringing home. You are bringing home. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I heard a story recently of a family that was praying for a lost son, and they bought him a Bible and engraved his name on the front of the cover, and they put it on their coffee table. It took many years, but one day he called, or he came to the house. He said, I need to get right with God. And they said, come on in. We've been waiting for you. They handed him his Bible, had his name on it, ready to go. Amen. He's the one who restores. Go ahead and be seated. Go ahead and be seated. That was a very powerful prayer. I've seen miracles from much less powerful prayers. So be encouraged. That was very powerful praying. There have been great losses, economic losses. Some of them have been businesses that have gone bad. Some of them have been just deals that maybe somebody betrayed. We've had situations where you know, somebody just stole. They stole the inheritance. They manipulated the courts. They did this, they did that. And the Lord just has an unusual way of setting things right. He's really good at it, but it's really a big deal, especially in these kinds of situations that we don't come to the Lord for restoration to prove that we were right. We don't come to prove somebody else was wrong or to shame them. Instead, we come to the Lord because he is a restorer, and as a father, he loves fixing broken things. And what I don't want to do is I don't want either the belief system, my thought life, or whatever, to keep me insulated from God's intention to restore something in me because I think I don't deserve it. Just as a prophetic act, just shake off shame and guilt, saying it will not affect what God is going to restore in me. You guys look funny. It's all right. You look as funny as I look. That's right. All right. We just say amen. No shame, no guilt. Because of the blood of Jesus, we are qualified for restoration. It's a testimony of his glory. It's being written in his book as we speak of the record of the miracles that he is performing. All right. So there are individuals, the business deals, maybe an inheritance that went bad, maybe a business that was stolen or just went under, but some sort of a significant economic crisis that happened in your family line or happened to you. If that's you, stand up. If you knew, you would probably be surprised if you realized how much I think about this right here. In the last several years, I've had such a burden for economic breakthrough for people. I have such a passion to see people healed, but it's coming to the place where I feel like the Lord is demonstrating his nature by touching people's finances, businesses, their creative thought life for entrepreneurship and this sort of thing. I have such a heart for this. So this is a real big deal to me. And we pray for our people and we see miracles. We just see miracles. And I believe there's going to be something significant happens tonight. I'm going to ask if there's anyone else in here, maybe it's not a business deal that went bad. Maybe you just in your family line, things have never worked financially. It's not a big deal that went bad. There's never been the privilege of having a big deal. It was just things have never worked. There's always been just not enough, and it's a family line issue, because I feel like the Lord's going to rewrite some DNA stuff here today. So if that's you, stand up, because we're going to see some breakthrough here. I get real excited about this. I hope that when the miracles happen, at least a few of you can send an email my way and let me know, because I love these stories so much, because they're always so weird. I mean, they're always so strange. Let me tell you one. I was in a setting like this, and I announced everybody gets an inheritance. Everybody gets an inheritance. Because that's what I believe. I believe every believer is supposed to get an inheritance. And people say, well, you know, I'm 60 years old. My parents have been dead for a long time. And they didn't have anything. I don't care. You still get one. That's just been my approach. And I said that in one setting like this. I said, everybody gets an inheritance. And there's this guy there he thought to himself, he said, man, my parents are dead. They left nothing. They were pastors. They were poor. They had nothing. I don't know how that could happen to me, you know. He gets in the shower the next morning. While he showers, he's thinking about it. A $20 bill appears in the air, floats down in the shower. So how many know that gets your attention? It's not $1 million, but it's an acorn, and we're about to get an oak tree, you know? And right after that experience, I think it was weeks, maybe a month or so later. It was a fairly short period of time, as I recall. He received a phone call. His parents had owned a 40-acre farm. And when they went into the ministry, they sold it, but they kept the mineral rights. And they just discovered natural gas on this property, and he now gets this fat check every single month when it looked like it was impossible for him to have an inheritance of any kind. It's just, this is so much fun for, how many of you know, it's not even the money, it's just the journey with this God who restores stuff. All right, we need to pray for these that are standing. Let's pray for them. I want you to surround them. If there's a bunch of you together, once again, lay hands on each other. So like I told you, I'm going to have you up and down. This is Christian aerobics tonight. So find someone who's standing and start calling. Some of them stood at the end, and you know which ones they are. There's that poverty thing that's been in their family line forever. Just pray and break that. For others, we're calling for restoration of lost income, lost deals, things that happened that went bad in business, inheritance stolen. We just call for the restoration of the Lord, the God who restores twofold, to enter into these economic situations. Let businesses be restored. Let businesses be restored. Hopeless situations receive hope again. Receive promise again. We just declare a release of the spirit of restoration. The God who restores, to restore these hopeless economic situations, that entire family lines would be changed today. There would be hope. There would be creative thinking. There would be planning. There would be discipline. There would be courage, great faith for breakthrough economically. Let every church represented here multiply in income over the next couple years. Let there be a multiplying, not just addition, but an actual multiplication. Multiplication of incomes of the people in this room. Not just raises, but multiplication. God, we call for the increase, for the glory of God. Open doors, opportunities would come where there's been no opportunities. We declare favor. I want you to declare the favor of God over these people. We declare favor, the favor of God over these households, over these families, the favor of the Lord. How many of you are in the middle of court cases? Just put a hand up if you just got a court case going. You just put your hand up high. Don't be ashamed. It just happens. All right, people, let's just start declaring that the Lord would work with them, for them, on their behalf, and bring a righteous settlement, that there would be righteous favor in these situations. That's right. The Lord is the one who, when he forgives, he restores. And we just declare that in all these situations. If it's somebody else's issues, God, that you'd bring peace there. Amen. Amen. You did really good. All right, go ahead and sit down one more time. Or sit down again, I should say. You guys doing all right? I realize I'm going to try to get through in a hurry. Sorry, it's Saturday night, too. That's challenging. But maybe we'll just stay here till Sunday morning and just go through. Yeah. I shouldn't say that here. There's too many fanatics in the room. So, all right. Here, this next one is a real big deal, because what we're going to do is we're not just going to pray. It's going to be having to do with physical health issues. On this one, we're not just going to pray for healing. We're actually going to pray for the healing of a family line. There are some of you that you're just wondering, what wrong is going to happen next? You had this person die. You had this bad report. You have this uncle that, you know, had this car crash. You had this person. It's just everything around you just seemed physically just destroying people's health. And there are entire family lines that just seem to have that spirit of infirmity just running rampant through that family line. I'm here to announce it's illegal. It is illegal. It is not legal. It is not legal. It's not good enough that I don't like it. I'll try this side. It's not good enough that I don't like it. It's not good enough that it bothers me. I have to take action. People ask, well, why is all this horrible things happening in the world? Who did he leave in charge? Man, we had come years ago, said what you tolerate will dominate. So let's just draw a line in the sand and just say, all right, we're tolerating no more. No more. Now, it may be a whole family line. It may be just your own personal health. If it's not one thing, it's another. And it's just been years of physical affliction. I didn't want this thing to end. If that's you, stand up. We're going to pray for you. There's one thing better than divine healing. It's divine health. Wouldn't it be great if the gift for healing was needed just to minister to the world because there was no one sick in the family? I thought that would go over a little better than it did, but it's all right. I got a couple of you nodding your head. That's encouraging. Yeah. Wouldn't it be amazing if we sought to develop the anointing for healing because of our desire to touch the lost? I want us to pray for a breaking in that spirit of affliction, that cycle of affliction in a family line. I want you to stand with these folks and pray with them. Call an end to it. If you can't reach somebody, then just get as close as you can. But I think this will be the last thing we pray for like this. Enough already. Enough already. We've had enough. We've had enough. It is not okay. In fact, we just rebuke that foreboding spirit that just wonders and expects something else to go wrong. In its place, we embrace the spirit of hope, the anticipation of good in every situation. Restore it all, God. Restore it all, Lord God. Restore the health and the hope to a family line. There are some families that have had one case after another of cancer, and we just declare that family to be a cancer-free zone, a cancer-free family. Some families have had just one affliction after another in the area of heart and lung disease, and we just declare this ends tonight. In the name of Jesus, this ends tonight. We declare health and healing into this entire family line. This is the will of the Lord. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done. In Jesus' name. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jack Taylor told us once that a more accurate way to pray from the original language is, kingdom of God come. Will of God be done. On earth as it is in heaven. One more thing. As you pray for these people, I want you to pray that for them. Kingdom of God, come. Will of God be done in their family line, in their bodies, as it is in heaven. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. All right, you did really good. Why don't you just remain standing. If you're not standing, stand if you're physically able to, because I want to pray one corporate prayer over you, if you're physically able to stand. And then we're going to pray for the sick in just a moment. But if you would just put your hands in front of you, I want to pray a verse that many of you would be very, very familiar with. It's become a very popular verse for good reason. It's 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you would prosper in all things and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Beloved, I pray that you would prosper in every area of your life, your relationships, your thought life. I pray that you would prosper in your sense of hope and anticipation of good. I pray that you would prosper in everything that you touch, and that your health would become divine health. You would taste of divine health. That there would be no acceptance of arthritis in older years. There would be no acceptance of things that just come with the territory. We say the kingdom of God is the territory that we embrace. And so I just pray that you would prosper in all things, and that you'd be in health as your soul prospers. I pray that you would have the wealth of a Bill Gates in your heart, that the prosperity of soul, the creative thinking, the emotional strength, that you would prosper in those areas like the wealthiest in the earth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Increase the gift of hope on people. Amen. Amen. All right. I am anticipating some good stories. Some good stories. How many of you are anticipating some good stories? Amen. Why don't you go ahead and sit down? We're going to pray for several conditions together. It won't be as long as I would normally do because I've already gone a long time. And I know. Keep going. It's funny. In any crowd, I talk about going late. Some people get happy and other people start getting nervous, hoping I'm not serious, you know. I tell people I preach the eternal gospel. Without beginning and without end. We just take breaks now and then. So, I believe the Lord wants to heal a lot of people. And I don't know if you realize what just happened, but some of you didn't stand when we prayed for the financial breakthrough because you didn't think your need was as big as the ones you were praying for. And I'm cool with that. But you are in line for breakthrough because you participated in the restoration process. And so I feel like everybody in this room, everyone qualifies for an economic significant breakthrough. I believe everybody in this room qualifies for a significant breakthrough in relationships, restored relationships. Even if you didn't stand, it didn't seem big enough, you know what? God's going to work on your behalf. All these things, the health issues. We see people who lay hands on someone else and they get healed. So nobody is safe is what I'm trying to tell you. No one is safe. You are all in the line of fire. All right. So we're going to pray for just a few specific needs. And the first thing that comes to my mind, actually, is that there are people here who have broken bones that did not heal correctly. It may have been 50 years ago. The oldest injury we've seen healed, 72 years. And the Lord reset a broken bone. And it may have been an old football injury. It could have been something that happened this morning. I don't care when it happened or how it happened. It's just I have seen thousands. We actually quit counting about probably 12 years ago. I quit counting at about 2,500 people, and it's about every week since then. So if you can imagine what the number would be. So anybody that has any kind of a broken bone that just never healed correctly, all right, we're going to throw something into this now. Those who have ever been in an accident, and it may not have been a broken bone. It may have been torn ligament. It may have been a cartilage damage somewhere. Bruising that has never lifted. There's just, those kinds of issues. Whiplash. Anything to do with an accident. Falling off a ladder. In Australia, I can call it rugby. But anyway, something of that nature. Just put your hand up. Any kind of injury from an accident. Okay, all right. We're gonna pray for that as well. There are people here who suffer with migraine headaches. And I believe that it's tonight. Who is actually in pain right now? Put your hand up. We got several here. Because we're going to pray for all of you that have it. But those of you that have it now, as it leaves, you'll understand what God has done for you. And I just want you to have that confidence of God's touch on your life. Cancer. I always like for us to go after cancer. Is there anyone here who has cancer, is battling cancer? Put your hand up right down here. There's another one here. Over here is a couple more. Okay. All right. All right. I want us to go. If I miss you, you still have permission to get healed. All right. There's another one back there. All right. So we're going to pray for you. And I feel like the Lord is going to give us breakthrough of 100% breakthroughs in specific diseases if we'll contend for it. I have a couple friends that 100% of the people they pray for with certain conditions are healed. One is Heidi Baker with deafness in the villages in Africa. It's 100%. Everyone she prays for is healed. The other is David Hogan. Last I heard, I think it was 4 different diseases that when they pray for them, 100% of the time they're healed. And I feel like if it will concern you and me enough that we go into the prayer closet and we say, God, we've got to get breakthrough with diabetes. We've got to get that broken off. Or Lord, Lou Gehrig's disease, or whatever it is that stands out to you. Let whatever seems to come up summon you into a breakthrough. God, I'm tired of seeing MS just linger in people's lives. Where we just continue to pray and the Lord starts giving us a measure of breakthrough until eventually, I think we're going to have churches around the country that become known for everyone with mental illness that goes there gets healed. Everyone with cancer that goes there gets healed. All right. If you have any of the, just a few conditions that I called out, if you have those, stand up if you're physically able to stand. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Is there anyone that has ever broken your tailbone and it didn't heal right? Anybody ever back over here, right over here? And I can feel it, actually. All right. Let's get that healed. All right. Now, when you pray for the tailbone, don't lay hands on it. That's you have to have boundaries, and I think that's a safe one. So, if you have the broken tailbone thing, stand up. Got to make sure that you receive healing prayer as well. All right. All of you that are standing, put a hand up if you would. All right. Keep it up till somebody comes to you. Those of you that are sitting, you've been drafted. Go to someone, but don't start praying till I tell you to. All right. Just go to them. Have them put their hand down as soon as you come. As soon as somebody comes to you, put your hand down. All right, look around the room. We still got a bunch of hands up. All right, we still have. If the person you're about to pray for still has their hand up, would you pull it down for them? All right, we still have. Okay, wave your hand at me if we missed you. I can't always see everyone. All right, it looks like we actually got everyone. Beautiful. Okay, number one, you got to find out the problem. I'm sure almost everybody knows this, but I just want to give you some direction. Wait. Hold it. Sorry. Find out the problem, number one. Number two, lay hands on them. It's just a typical way to pray. It's not the only way. Lay hands on the problem if it's a proper place to lay your hand. Otherwise, put it on their shoulder and pray the anointing travels, all right? And then finally, as you pray, learn to minister the way Jesus did. He actually would speak to a disease. He would speak to an affliction. He'd speak to a problem. So pray in that way. All right. So Holy Spirit, we do invite you to come and do what only you can do and glorify the name of Jesus once again. Thank you, Lord. To speak to the bones, be reset now. All the affliction, cancer, go in Jesus' name. Let strength be restored. Let hope be restored. Resources be restored. We speak to the injury in the neck. Be healed now. I want you to rebuke the spirit of trauma over anyone that was injured in an accident. Rebuke the spirit of trauma. Okay, good. And end your prayer. But stay with the person, please. Stay with the person. Jesus ministered to a blind man twice before he's completely healed. So I feel like we need to be ready to stick with it, all right? All of you that receive prayer, right now you just need to examine yourself. I don't want anyone to pretend, no hype. I just want you to examine, try to move in a way you couldn't move. If there's any way you can examine yourself, if there were tumors, for example, on your shoulder, then start feeling around to see if you could feel the tumor. In some way, examine to see what's happened. And everyone who is at least 80% better or more, wave both hands over your head like this till your hands cross. Yeah, just do it like that. Do it for about 15 seconds so people around the room can see what the Lord has done. We've got all kinds of people that have been healed already. So, Lord, we give you thanks for this. Yeah, we give you thanks for that. Wow, wow, wow. All right. Turn and pray again. If the person is 100%, you might mess them up. Leave them alone. Other than that, turn and pray again, all right? Okay. You did good. End your prayer, but stay with the person just to honor them. Shh. All of you that receive prayer, one more time, just examine yourself to see what the Lord has done. Just put faith into an action. Begin to move. And all of you that are at least 80% better, wave both hands over your head so that we can celebrate, rejoice with you. Look at that. We got people all around the room. Thank you, Lord. That's beautiful. Thank you, God. Wow, wow, wow. Beautiful. Okay. Now, tomorrow night, I realize that there's a lot of churches represented. You've got your own meetings. Be faithful there. If you're able to join us tomorrow night, I hope that we're able to take a bit more time to pray for people tomorrow night. But what I would like for you to do is just sit down real quickly. How many of you got healed tonight? Just put a hand up. Put a hand up. Look at that. That's wonderful. That's amazing. How many of you can't say you're healed yet, but you can tell something's going on? Yeah. All right. That's good. One of my favorite stories of all time is a Randy Clark story where he prayed, actually someone on his team prayed for a blind man. His eyes were burned out with acid and prayed for him for several hours, and there was no progress whatsoever. He woke up the next day, same, the next day, the same. On the third day, he woke up with brand new eyes. And we've seen something start in the corporate gathering that becomes realized hours or sometimes even days later. So I just like all of it. I just sign me up. I like all of it. All right. What did Jesus heal tonight? I'd love to hear from three or four of you something significant that Jesus healed in your body tonight. Yes? What? You're volunteering your friend?
Yes, whiplash.
What was it?
Whiplash.
Whiplash. How long ago?
June.
Just stand up.
In June?
In June? You still had pain from June, and it's now gone. Do you have all, move it around. How is it? It's all good? Yeah? Thank you, Lord. Wonderful. I like that. Whiplash is gone. We didn't need whiplash anyway. That's right. Someone else, what did Jesus do? What did he heal in your body? I'd love, yeah, right here. Yeah. Can we get a mic? It's probably better. Yeah, thanks for helping me out here.
I was in a serious automobile accident many years ago where my left arm was broken in three places. And they had it casted to my body because they said if the bones moved, it would, you know, I'd be in serious trouble. And it healed bowed.
Yep, yep.
And it's straight now.
That's so fun.
And number two, I had surgery on my feet many years ago also, and my right foot, if I have like these boots on and tonight it was just starting to burn. And even before we started to pray, it went away.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. That's so cool. The first miracle, we started praying for broken bones 15, 16 years ago. And it was because of one girl I prayed for. Her leg broke. When it healed, it grew bowed. And we prayed for her, and it took about 30 days, but it completely straightened. They were going to go in surgery, re-break it, put her in physical therapy, about a 10-year-old girl. And the thing over about 30-day period just straightened up completely. You got yours all tonight. That's beautiful. Let's hear from a couple more. What did Jesus do? This is so wonderful. Yes. Can you yell?
Yes.
Yes. What did he do for you? Why don't you come down here? Sorry. I think David's coming to you. The pastor is ascending the ladder of the Lord. Yes.
I had them pray for my spine because I was in an automobile accident and it was discovered that I had a couple of issues. I have to have an x-ray to know if that was healed, but since I was a baby, I had issues with dislocated hips and I don't have any pain. Like, it's completely gone.
That's amazing. Yeah, thank you, Lord. I love it. I love it so much. I love it so much. Wow. Yeah. We got a testimony over here.
I really feel like the Holy Spirit is asking me to request this entire congregation to pray for this beautiful woman, Stasha. She's here from Fredericksburg. She was ran over by a truck in 1985 or 86, severed her leg completely. They put her back together again. She's never healed right. She's in a wheelchair. She fell through the roof of her kitchen ceiling. She's still in a lot of pain, and we've been praying for her, and nothing's happened yet. Is there any way we could just all come together, or I don't know, what's your answer?
Just have several people surround her. Several of you back there that believe God, just surround her. The rest of you just extend a hand, and let's pray. Yeah, we just declare that trauma has no place to influence this life, this heart, this mind, this body. We break the power of trauma in Jesus' mighty name. Let the restoration begin in her spirit, soul, and body. All pain we rebuke now in Jesus' name. Loose her body. Loose her body in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want a group of you to stay with her right now for just a few more minutes and pray. And Pastor, we had one more testimony right over here, and then I want to just end the evening. But if we get to keep those guys praying, let's get one more testimony here, and then we'll wrap it up. Right here, yeah.
Yeah, I've been having headaches for quite some time, and they thought it was a migraine, but it's turned out it's been my blood pressure's at stroke range. Well, the headaches are gone.
The headaches are gone. Thank you, Lord. That's wonderful. We're glad for that. We're so glad. So glad. Why don't you stand? Why don't you stand? I know there's a lot of, yeah. Let's give thanks to the Lord. That's always a good thing to do. Yeah, we bless you, God. So wonderful. Thank you, Lord. I know that we have a lot of churches represented, and I just pray there would be such an outpouring of the Spirit of God in every place that gathers tomorrow. If you are free to join us tomorrow night, then of course I'd encourage you to do so. But I just pray that you become contagious in hope, that people will get nervous seeing you come into the room because you're way too happy, way too excited about what's about to happen. And I tell you, if you'll pray in hope, it will be like watching a recorded game. You'll know ahead of time what's about to happen. And when they fumble the ball, you won't get nervous. All right, are you with me? So put your hands out one more time. Let me pray for you. Then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. God, I thank you for the privilege of declaring that you're the reason why we have hope. You are so kind. You're so good. You're so generous. And you are the restorer. And so I invite you even again to work on our behalf to restore all that's stolen, all that's broken. And our prayer is that you would be exalted, your name would be highly exalted through this process in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.